Welcome to the Both And Podcast, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and we make a playlist because we believe in both talking about the Bible and making a playlist. This is the Bible Preacher, and my name is Matt Cale. I'm the pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
I mean, I put myself out there. I embrace vulnerability, as our friend Adam would have me do, by subtweeting someone on Facebook with a theological take, Matt, and you just throw it back in my face.
Gently. I gently give it back to you. I'm just trying to lift it up. I know you care about it so much.
I care about it. I'm Zach Paris. I am the pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Colorado Boulder, and a person who occasionally posts hot, very niche theological takes on the internet.
Oh my goodness.
So here's my deal, okay? And I tried to like keep it as non like liminal as I could. I tried to stay out of the liminal waters, right? I love the liminal waters, but I do recognize like not everybody wants to go there, okay? And it's not for everybody. It doesn't communicate clearly, right? That's one of the problems with post-modernity stuff and like liminal stuff is it's really hard to like do it and not sound like a stoner. So all I wanted to say was I've been hearing some leaders in the church use both and a lot. And what I find really frustrating about that is when they use it as like an answer. The answer should never, I think, be both and. But especially it should not be an answer as like a destination. Like, well, it's these two things. How about that, right? And it started with, I can visualize some people from seminary who probably said it. But like, whenever somebody like says it and interjects into a conversation, I feel like they're the person who's sitting on the front row of a seminary class, like our first semester, who is a religion major in undergrad at a Lutheran college. And like, we're having this conversation on the first month of class and they like interject and like, both and. As if they just took your mind and exploded it, right? And then they sit back super confidently and smugly and are like, I just solved the mysteries of the universe for you, bro. Almost always a bro, by the way. It's very bro-y, like Lutheran theology bro-y.
Yeah, I did appreciate Lenny Duncan, I think, coining the term, unless somebody else came up with the first, theobrogen. That was a good... That's nice.
New to me.
Nice.
That's new.
It's kind of like... is this similar to the paradox issue where they go, oh, it's Lutheran paradox. The end. And then you
it's
get to move
same.
On. Because you
yeah.
just use the word paradox as a shield. And then you get to move on.
Yeah, is your vulnerability shield? Oh my god.
I don't know what that is. I didn't get that reference, but
I didn't either, but I can assume that like you would use that we just used it correctly. as our a friend of the podcast was in vulnerability training this weekend.
Oh, that's what he was doing?
Emotional intelligence.
Wow. I mean, I think No, you're right. I think sort of to bring it like close to ministry, like yeah, you're right. Like in a seminary classroom, you can throw out things like both and paradox, and it probably sounds good. In a community that is not a seminary classroom, nobody cares. Like you, like paradox doesn't preach.
No, it doesn't preach
it
at
doesn't
all.
Doesn't preach.
Right?
Like so, like there's and the problem with both and sometimes is, I mean, like you'll go after like the third way, right? Like there's clearly like. Like an unexpected path like that, like, but you gotta, it actually has to be a path and you have to make it real. Because part of the problem with both and is that there's no cost to it, right?
Yeah.
There's no cost.
How a both and should work is to kind of open up a third way that you couldn't see before, right? The tension in it should pull it open. I mean, I think the issue with it, like intellectually, gosh, we're going such like, sometimes we talk about the dumbest things on this podcast and we just went straight off into like, Theo Bro.
The world needs to know there's nothing else going on in the world.
There's nothing else going on.
We have to talk about this.
Well, it's that it assumes that the both ends are equal and like somewhat static, right? Life and death are here. I think maybe it was Craig Satterley. Somebody in seminary told it to us. Like, you can have the law and the gospel, right? And maybe it was Hendel. Kurt Hendel said it, right? But the gospel is always just a little bit louder or just there's just a little bit more gospel in the end, right? There, it's both and, but not... Not a complete both and, right? The gospel's going to overpower it a little bit. But the reality of, like, life is that 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 directional between the both and, the life and death, which I think can kind of cover all of the different ways that Lutheran paradox can be covered, right? It's always moving back and forth, and so that we can be in places in life where it's like 99% death and 1% life, and that it is that push and pull, that's the moving back and forth. I think I had a nice nautical metaphor or turn of phrase in the Facebook post, right? The ebbs and flows of those tides, that's the thing that gets us moving in that third way, and that you have to be engaged in that, right? Like there are stakes, like you said, right? It has to cost something. If you're going to do both and, there are stakes, right? And what you are doing, you can be involved in which way that's swinging, and you got to be engaged in that. You're going to get caught up in the tides, and hopefully, you know, that's how you get the arc. Because if it's just too, like, my math brain takes over here, right? But if it's just both and they're equal sides, and there's life and death, there's no Dr. King moral arc of the universe, right? It's just a straight line forever. But you need some arc to
it. What if there's good people on both sides?
That's the kind of thing that isn't true most of the time. They're normally bad people on both sides. That's the Lutheran
people on both sides. That's great. It's bad people on both sides. It's good.
I believe in no facet of Lutheran theology more than I believe in Lutheran anthropology that assumes the worst in people. That holds up.
Yeah.
You know? It's like Jurassic Park. Holds up.
It does. It does hold up. Well, good. I'm glad we started with that. I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Got it out there.
I was, last week, Zach, I was terrified because I didn't know what the state of the world would look like. But now we
have, two we have certainty.
It's a both and.
Two presidents. That's right.
We're going to talk about what Christ, if we the just King did Sunday, that, right? In the midst, like, of an attempted coup. It's
what
great.
If we had, when does the Pope gets exiled at some point in the history of France, right? What if we had one of those, what if we were about to enter one of those situations? As I was doing some of my minor prep work off of the history pages of Wikipedia, doing the kinds of historical research that your vinyl spouse really appreciates, World War One or Two dictatorish sort of history, it struck me how, like, not far away some of this history might actually be. You know, I want to know who's going to France. I mean, it's clearly Biden. They're not going to let Trump into France, right?
We're laughing, but the idea of a president in exile probably...
It happens in other countries. It's not a thing that doesn't happen.
Right?
It's a thing that hasn't happened to us yet. We actually, and I've been doing... Don't tell Chris this, Matt, okay? Because I don't want to be too judged on Thursday nights. I've done some, like, recently I've started, like, dabble in some presidential history. And people, like, forget, we just, like, don't remember it at all. Like, in our collective memory, right, Kennedy was assassinated and Lincoln was assassinated. That was so.
Yeah.
McKinley was assassinated, too. Like,
right.
Like, there's a decent number of presidents who die in office. Like, historically, over the sample size of less than 50. Those are just the murdered ones. The other ones get sick and, like, give inauguration speeches and, like, driving sleet storms and get pneumonia and die a month later. Like,
yeah.
This thing is not, like...
Even Reagan was shot.
Like,
this was a real thing.
We,
yeah.
like, have some sort of expectation that this is, like... I mean, and I do have an expectation. I want to be clear, if anyone is listening from the federal government, that, like, we could be more stable than we have been. But it's an expectation, not a reality.
Yeah. How's this going to relate to Christ the King Sunday?
Well, Matt, well, you are laying out this, like, you're glad for the certainty now. We have two presidents, sure, and we can Debbie down that and stuff, right? But I do have some faith in the legal processes. And I want to tell you, my brother got arrested. Matt, I don't want to break this on the podcast. When we were kids, my brother stole a boat, right? This little John boat that he's had for a long time. And they finally found out about it, and the Trump administration came in and arrested him for having somebody else's boat, because the Trump administration is taking voter fraud very seriously.
I was like, where's this going? Great. That's good. So if y'all don't know, Zach workshops jokes on the pod, then takes them to a happy hour with three more people, four more people, and then
And I don't know where they go from there. I don't know. Comedy store in
Comedy store open Zoom. Check me out. I do some several like in-house meetings a week for the Camp Minder Incorporated. As well, I've got some big fans over there. They're big fans of the comedy. Matt, things are not so good over here. It's both ending. We're both ending being sucked into a future that may or may not be good, right? Like, that's the other thing, too, right? Don't assume that just because it's a both and, like, the future's going to be good. Because, like, because it has curves, because there's an arc to, like, the you know, King's moral arc of the universe. But, like, this path, the third way, right? You're getting pulled in these two directions. There's a third way. That path winds and stuff, right? And it can bend further into death, right? Hey, guess what, Matt? Schools in Boulder County are now fully remote until 2021, so my life has been good for the past 2 months, but it will no longer be so because my child and I are stuck at home together.
So that includes your child, because here, like, the preschools, it seems like, are open, but yours are going to include everything.
Well, she goes to a preschool that's run by the public schools, the Spanish school. So, awesome. Great news of vaccines, certainty in terms of the presidential stuff, but life goes back to crap. I also, the numbers look terrible, Matt. I don't know. I know you've been looking at the dials. Here in Boulder County, we have more hospitalizations than we've ever had at any point during the pandemic. We're going to run out of hospital beds before too long. And I know personally now lots and lots of people who currently have the virus. Where I only knew most of the time knew like secondhand stories and stuff. So, y'all, it's getting about to get real, real.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does that have to do with Christ the King?
Christ the King.
Here's why I'm bringing that around. Not just because I want to cut off our very relevant opening portion. But I feel like... So,
I think it's there.
Should we go back to our... Zach's going to talk about fascism, which is great. I want to know how this preaches. Maybe we can figure this out. Because I still have PTSD on Christ the King Sunday.
Cool.
The time I preached in preaching class about this about Christ the King. I was told, no, cannot make light of this Sunday. Because the people were scared, and so the Pope said, Christ is king and no one else. So there you go.
Boom.
But what does that even mean when the cases are rising? We have an attempted coup in this country where the Secretary of State says, getting ready for a second Trump administration. What does that even mean?
Avignon, like, that's
what
it was.
Is the
Avignon.
Concrete impact of Christ the King?
Well, Matt, I don't know if I don't have an answer yet, but I think by the time we finish talking,
we're going to get there.
Right? Because here's what I'll lift up. You could go back and listen to one of our now like five episodes on Christ the King on these exact same texts where we retell the story of Matt's encounter in preaching lab, which, if you haven't been to seminary, is a real thing that they had at seminary. Where you have to preach in a laboratory setting, and Matt preached about Christ the King, and the Reverend Dr. Bishop Craig Satterley did not appreciate how he did it and pointed to the history of the feast, which dates, Matt, this is where I'll start, and I think it might be helpful, dates to 1925. It's a really new, relatively new, festival of the church established by Pius the 11th. And according to Dr. Satterley and the Wikipedia page, in part it was to counter rising nationalism and fascism. And so to give you some context, 1923 is when the Beer Hall Putsch, I don't know how to say that. I have some German, but that's not part of my German. Right, a failed Nazi coup in Bavaria. Like, the Nazis are, like, trying to coup in Germany. Mussolini does coup, who the Pope was aware of. He was not in France at the time, but back in the Vatican. In 1922, comes to power via a coup, and inspired by Mussolini. There's a coup in Spain in 1923 that set the table for Franco eventually, our good friend Miguel Primo de Rivera. So all of these, like, fascist dictators and nationalistic movements are slowly coming to power. This is going to sound like really bad news, but I think it might set the context for a way forward. In response to that, Pope Pius establishes Christ the King as a reminder and proclaiming that Christ is the King and not these dictators in 1925. And the world heard that and said, you know what? That's a good reminder. Let's put these things down. Liberal democracies for everybody. It's 20 more years, and millions, literally millions of horrific deaths later, before those movements chill out for a while or are, like, unable to, like, horribly impact the world. That this festival is established at the beginning of a very dark period, and not is not the answer in of itself. Things are not going to be a lot better next week, Matt. I will guarantee, I will bet our listeners that, you know, COVID numbers are going to be way worse next week than they are this week. Pretty much everywhere. We are, you know, all the epidemiologists are talking in really grave voices about, like, this is the season that we've been worried about. So we're entering the darkness. We're entering a time when the both hand is certainly not equal, and it looks like the road is curving in the wrong way. So this festival, perhaps it can be your the lamp that we carry into that darkness.
Yeah, that's interesting. A lamp that we can carry into that darkness. Yeah. Because the darkness is still there. You're not dissipating it all. But you're carrying the lamp in the midst of it. Interesting. Interesting. I don't know if I'm all the way there yet, but I'm maybe.
And that the texts themselves we've not gotten to are super future focused, you know, and are words about the future. So,
well, let's do it. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel. Here's an Ezekiel text that is not the dry bones and is not the spinning wheels that I like to use for the bicycle blessing. It is instead this one. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered. On a day of clouds and thick darkness, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down on good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture in the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will make them lie down. Take a break, people. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Mic drop. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
I think maybe we should call this Sunday Waffle House Sunday.
Why Waffle House Sunday?
Well, you know, they have that metric where where Waffle Houses are like the last thing to stay open, the last thing to close when a hurricane's coming. So you can like measure hurricane intensity by whether the Waffle Houses are open. You know, lamps in the middle of the darkness. But also, it's a reminder that the sheep of God have been scattered, covered, and smothered by injustice.
Indeed. No, is that like a Waffle House?
Yeah, thing? You can get your stuff. You're like hash browns, scattered, covered, and smothered. That's the, that's like the fully loaded.
Outside, see, do you see what Zach did there? So this text using local imagery to bring this thing to life. He's talking about these. You butted at all the weak animals with your horns. I'm like, where's he at? But like, they're clearly talking about imagery that people would understand. So Zach going with Waffle House, because that is what speaks to people in Boulder, Colorado.
Well, we don't really have Waffle Houses up here, but in other parts of the country, they do have Waffle Houses. I am struck by that line, like you might dropped on I'll feed you justice, which is not a menu item at the Waffle House. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I mean, that's the church right now, right? Like, the church has been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. So it feels super resonant, especially the scattered part of it, dimension.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, in the time... Not only the church, but, you know, as we continue to be shut down, stuck at home, kids stuck at home even more than before.
With less daylight?
With less daylight.
I fed empanadas last night to a bunch of college students in the dark. You know, it's cold and it's dark.
In the dark. And you were the lamp in the darkness. But this, like, so this image of restoration, like, this is not happening tomorrow, even though maybe there's a possibility of a vaccine in the future. We get a little ray of sunshine possibly coming through, but it's not happening tomorrow. Mm. And yet, to be able to lift that up and to say, like, does that still have value to be able to lift up that, this promise, even if it's a ways off yet? That's what this Sunday, like... It's like, if this Sunday is about the end of the story, right? This is the last Sunday of the church year. And if that is like, I feel like it's a common preaching thing. But I remember hearing it from somebody specifically, and I can't remember at the moment. But that idea that, like, we know the end of the story, and because we know the end of the story, it affects how we live right now. I feel like that is a relevant piece for Christ the King.
For sure. So the issue with both these texts are the... how quickly we are to read or to hear the stories as I'm a sheep. I hope I'm a skinny one and not a fat sheep. You're like, you got to get on your, God, what's the one all over my Facebook, these days? I have some friends who are doing like, gosh, what's it called? It's a whole like pyramid scheme thing that one of my high school classmates is like leading up. E2M personal training. And the, like, it's working. Like, I'm seeing pictures of like my friends getting shredded, right? You got to sign up for that, because otherwise, you know, you're gonna be a fat sheep, and fed justice. But I don't want to completely throw out the possibility that it's important for us to reflect on what kind of sheep we are, but I don't think that's the fullness of what both of these readings are about. But that At the best of times these days, I'm like, I can kind of forget about the virus for a minute, but that there are all these parts of life that are great, but if I could just get rid of this part and that part, right? And that's kind of the good news here, is that God's going to come in and get rid of the parts of life that are not life-giving, that are death-dealing. I mean, I think that's how you got to frame the good news. It does a number of things, right? It acknowledges the reality of fat sheep, butting you, eating all the good food, and it gives you the promise that the fat sheep in your life eventually will, you're going to be gathered together, and those fat sheep are going to be fed a beautiful diet of justice.
A beautiful diet of justice. Well... Ezekiel's about sheep, and Matthew, sheep and goats.
Let's talk about sheep. It's one of our favorite sub-podcasts here. Matthew says, we've been working through Matthew 25. At the end of the fifth discourse, there's some whole, like, thoughts here about Matthew's discourses with Jesus. He has, like, five long discourses that are, like, the new Torah that Jesus is establishing. Don't preach about that. I don't think that's very compelling. But we're at the end of the fifth one. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels are with him, then he will sit on his throne. On the throne of his glory. The glory has its own throne. Not a glorious throne, it is a throne of his glory. And all the nations, and it's actually all the ethnicities, will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matt, this text is very, very scary, unless you've ever been hungry, thirsty, unwelcome, naked, sick, or in prison. And in that case, this is overwhelming good news, because God says that that's the essential work of the kingdom. So you can choose how you listen to this, how you hear this.
Choose how you hear it. How do you hear it?
Well, there's another dimension to it, Matt, that I think that's important to lift up, and it gets kind of like swept under the rug of all of the, like, Bibleisms here, like when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory, and you're like, glory, glory, I don't know what glory is, like, Son of Man, that sounds like okay, I don't know what we're talking about. But all the nations will be gathered before him, it's all the ethnicities, but a thing Jesus has been all about in the Gospels, and especially in Matthew, is breaking open the social, like, circles, right? Like, he's, when he calls the disciples, he's, like, creating new family systems, new family units that are breaking apart old family units, which were, like, your family system. Like I said a million times on the podcast, your family was the only people who had any sort of social responsibility to care for you. It's what makes the Good Samaritan such a radical story, is that, like, nobody would even, like when I don't give money to people on the side of the road, I kind of feel bad that I didn't, or I, like, try to avoid eye contact. They didn't feel that. Like, they're just like, screw that dude. No problem. I'm walking past this dying guy. They had that, like, they didn't have that obligation. And what Jesus is doing is breaking open these small systems where power was kept and maintained, where wealth was kept and maintained, safety and health. He's breaking all of those open, and all of that, the power, the money, the food, the clothing that was kept in those things, that's all up for grabs now. And that can be terrifying, right? If you're going to lose all of that. But to the people that Jesus is speaking to in general, this is really good news that we might have enough now. He's shaking the tree.
Shaking the tree at the foundation of the world.
At the foundation of the world.
Yeah, it's a classic text. We've used it a couple of times for our Good Friday service when we're feeling extra, what's the word? I don't know. Creative. Where we pitch this text as the seven last words and so illustrate each one of these, right? And so, like Jesus is that person, right? Jesus is this person who's hungry, which is what the text says, but it's like it even more literalizes it, takes it to the heart, right? Rather than just this verse at the end of Matthew, takes it to the very heart of the cross, that this is what the cross looks like. An interesting text for Christ the King, though.
Yes, Matt. Nice, easy way to do it.
I mean, is this the throne of his, then he will sit on the throne of his glory? Is this the throne of his glory? Being hungry, thirsty, sick, in prison?
Yeah. Yeah. There you go, Matt. Taking apart the throne of glory.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where I would take it. Like,
I have to preach on this, Matt.
What?
I don't know. Do you not have to preach on it? Because you're talking in the conditional tense. Here's what I would do if I were forced to preach on this.
I'm still off the lectionary for one more week, and then we get to Advent, and I'll be back. I'll be back. Yeah, maybe that's what I would do. I would pitch the throne of glory there. Since our eyes have been on Washington for a while, it's probably good. I'm glad we all went out and got out the vote. But that the throne, maybe now is the time after the voting is done. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm glad we did that thing. But now our eyes maybe shift back to the people that are literally around us. Where is Jesus' throne? And it's in each of these places. I'm about to do community organizing training this month again, and I'm going to do some of the trainings. I'm going to lead some of them. And I was reminded as I was going through it that one of the principles of organizing is that people who are closest to an issue or an experience are those that you, like, the closer to an issue you are, the less you can philosophize about it, the less you can talk about paradox in both hands, to bring it full circle. So yeah, we set that up at the beginning, and now we're coming all the way back around.
Callback.
But if you're close to hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison, even if you are not that person, if you are close to these realities, if you're close to people who are there, whatever that looks like in your own community, right? That's where we find Christ. And that might be a good reminder that Jesus is not Abraham Lincoln sitting on his literal marble throne.
I mean, that's the image you have in your DC, I have in my head, like when I read it, like
totally
of like a cross between Abraham Lincoln at the Lincoln Memorial, like on his throne, with like one of those like untouched, like immaculate, like church parlors that you're like with doilies and stuff, you know, like right there at that intersection. That's what I see.
Yeah, and that's not like it is super weird. Like, you were in DC what, last year? When did they do the
I
don't know if you went to the
Less
Lincoln
than a
Memorial,
year ago.
It's Lincoln Memorial is incredible. Every time I go, I'm just like, because it's so like it's insane. It reminds you of Zeus. Like, you're just is this? How does this exist in America, right? And yet, I remember I got very choked up actually reading the words of the Gettysburg Address. And I can't remember what the lines were, but just like reading it. But then you turn around, right? And I feel like that's actually the more powerful piece. Like, it's the weirdness of Zeus. But then you turn around and you look out over like...
And you look towards the giant phallic...
Yes, all of that is there, but like there's a little marker on the ground, right, where like Dr. King gave this speech at the March on Washington, and it wasn't just Dr. King's March on Washington. Like, all of these things that have taken place, there were all of these people, hundreds, thousands of people have gathered, and that's really the power of that space, I think. And that too is part of the shift, I think, of Christ the King, is to say, where is the throne? Is it this Lincoln statue, or is Jesus out here, you know?
We'll have to give you one more twist, dear preacher. It's a completely different kind of vein, but I think it works here. I mean, so the like literal throne. One of the other, we get different Christ the King text, right? Like, and it's one of the Christ the King text is like Jesus on the cross, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the throne like image that like that Jesus goes with. And to tie into yours, I heard this from Ben Stewart, but I'm sure it's not unique to Ben Stewart, right? But that like that the axis mundi, the center of the universe for Christianity, is the cross, but you can also read that as the tree, right? Like, and so that every tree is the center of the universe, and that's sort of like not Zeus up in the temple, but the tree in your backyard is the place where God reigns and where you should be looking for God.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right, maybe we got there.
Jeez. Well, I got to preach something. This is...
Where are you preaching?
On Zoom. I preached in person, Matt, last week for the first time. In 8-9 months. I preached at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder on Zoom, but they have bought like some like super fancy air purifier situation, and so as the preacher you have the opportunity to come in and preach live in person in the sanctuary and be in the room with the musicians. And they have a couple musicians and stuff. So I preached in a room with other people listening for the first time in forever. Shout out to Michael Hoffman, one of the musicians who I always enjoy preaching for because he always laughs out loud at my jokes.
It's good.
It's yeah. Good. Yeah. It's totally different to watch people react in real time to your words than it is to talk to a screen. So that was pretty cool, actually. Like, I missed preaching to humans, it turns out.
Good, good, good.
This week's going to be a little more tricky. We are scheduled to be at like an Airbnb in the mountains, and I'm going to try to do it via Zoom from up there. So hopefully mountain internet works. But also, new spiritual practice, Matt. This is me dumping all the things. I got new spiritual practice because I've unlocked a new level of achievement in being a Coloradan. I waxed my own skis last weekend, Matt.
I saw that. I don't know what that means, but it seemed like you were proud of it.
I bought a block of wax, right? I bought a fancy, a special ski wax iron. You can use a clothes iron, but I don't know why. They told me to. I bought it, right? And you, like, drizzle it on the skis. You let it cool down, and then you gotta, like, scrape it. And that's the part. It takes, like, 20, 30 minutes, like, to scrape it and brush it. And you just keep going and going and going. And you can totally, like, zen out. And at the end, you feel accomplished and like you might belong in this state.
Fantastic.
Shout-outs, Matt. I got shout-outs. The past recent weeks, I've heard from listeners, and we like to shout-out the listeners. Long-time listener, Will Rose of, I believe, Church of the Geek, Guys and Geeks, Theocon, all that kind of stuff. Will Rose dropped a note and said really nice things to us, Matt, about appreciating our work. And so, thanks, Will. That's really nice. Kevin Crowley, one of my alums, who just graduated and is now working stiff and has the opportunity, like those of us in post-college world, to listen to podcasts all the time and has been listening to the podcast. Thanks, Kevin. And shout out to Marty, the party. Marty the party, the Marty party, who's a current-ish student, who's romantically entangled with a recent alum of mine. He's returned to Yagam from Mexico, who's been on a road trip, Matt, to Southern California. And I saw Misha's pictures, and she was on in Malibu, Venice. And you know, I said, you got to check out the Mercado. Went to the Mercado.
That's right.
Loved it. Loved the Mercado La Paloma.
Yeah. Went to the Mercado?
Went to the Mercado. Yeah. The first thing she said to me is that mural is amazing.
Isn't
she
it?
Just loved it. No, yeah. She had a mole. She had a mole that was delicious, she said.
Oh, really? I wonder where that was from.
I don't know.
I don't think I've had mole there. Man, that makes me hungry. And I want to go...
Go get you some ceviche?
Maybe I can talk Chris into it. Maybe I can talk Chris into... I got to work the minute, maybe. I'm going to have to work on it. Yeah, ceviche. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. She was in Venice, but you didn't tell her to get bread pudding. Because
no.
It can be a little dangerous.
It's a dangerous bread pudding cafe.
Oh, my goodness. Well, continued... Shout out. We're glad that there was a vinyl preacher bump for elected officials.
That's like right.
Sarah Trungariat. So once again, Reverend Raphael Warnock, if you want the vinyl preacher bump.
He keeps emailing me, man.
Come on the pod. Come on the pod. The vinyl preacher could decide the fate of the Senate.
That's our destiny, man.
That's our destiny. That's our destiny. Come on. Come on the pod. Jamie Harrison could have done it. He didn't come. He didn't come on the pod. And so instead,
you go to the Breakfast
Lindsey
Club
Graham
first.
Won. Chris Hevner is raising a glass. He's really happy because Lindsey Graham won.
Fritz.
So
you go to Breakfast Club first, then you do Steve Harvey, then you come on the Vinyl Preacher. That's how you get the votes out in Georgia.
That's it. Oh, all right. What are we listening to?
Matt, I wanted to cross-reference it. We need a vinyl intern to go back and, like, make a database so that we can, like, go back and see what all of our Christ the King playlists have looked like. I feel like this is probably a duplicate. I wanted to check and avoid, like, the super obvious ones. Like, I'm sure at some point we put Cake's Sheep Go to Heaven on, because, like...
Yeah, I wrote that down. Okay. Chris likes that one.
Yeah, Chris loves Cake. And I think I've put it on here before, but I'm putting Sheep, Mount Joy Sheep... that I've probably put on before for other Sheep songs. It's good. And then you swept in, Matt, and took the Woody Guthrie, All You Fascists Bound to Lose. So I had to switch it up and find another Woody Guthrie song about fascists.
He loves singing about fascists.
That, like, literally was his life.
Was he an Antifa?
He was the original Antifa, man.
The original Antifa.
Wait till they find out that all those elementary school kids are singing songs from the founder of Antifa. Woody Guthrie, if you did not know, friends, American folk singer, legend, of course. But his guitar, written on the guitar, it said, "This machine kills fascists." And so Woody Guthrie was way cooler than Pete Seeger, whose banjo said, "This machine surrounds hate with love and forces it to surrender," because he was too much of a proto-hippie.
Not as punchy.
But Woody Guthrie also has a song called "Tear the Fascists Down." I'm putting that in the playlist. And then the Avett Brothers put out a cover of "This Land Is Your Land."
I saw that.
That's really good. And it was so good that before we started recording, Matt, I was playing "This Land Is Your Land" with my daughter. And it's a really good, like... it's so good. Like, the lyrics are incredible. And, of course, you know, be sure to sing the Dust Bowl verse there about "this side of the sign was made for you and me." But, you know, in these days of civic awareness engagement, don't forget "This Land Is Your Land." It's actually, like, it's real good.
Good stuff. Good, man, that makes me think I should... We've got our pastor emeritus is basically our Pete Seeger right now. Maybe I can get him to do "This Land Is Your Land" for our virtual worship.
Did you guys do "On Eagle's Wings"? Because I heard lots of people did "On Eagle's Wings" this Sunday.
I love, like, whatever facet of the internet is on my social media feed. Definitely love that. I don't know if the rest
you
of the world
is talking about it.
You should
check it out on Grace Boulder's website, Matt, because... one of the things Grace does really well is they invest very heavily in their music, and their pianist is, like, insane. And, like, he's totally, like, the kind of music snob that, like, all of us would, like, poke fun at On Eagle's Wings normally, you know? And he just, like, threw together an arrangement of it that is, like, nasty. Like, it's... it's real good. Maybe I'll even put it on the Facebook page.
That's great. That's great. I do have, from 3 years ago, what we put on here. I mean, I must have gone with some Kings band names. Mm-hmm. So Kings of Leon. Okay. Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Okay. All right. Benny King, "Stand By Me," which actually, like, King name, but also, like, "When the Night Has Come and the Land Is Dark."
Yeah, that's
pretty good.
Like,
that does fit.
That fits nice, yeah.
That's good. And then... I think I had a chance line here. "Don't believe in kings, believe in the kingdom." Do you remember when he did that line? And this was like, so this was like before Chance had that terrible second album, and we were all like, oh my gosh.
Chance said that was his first
Everybody
album.
Everybody has a sophomore slump. It's all right.
I think we should just still wait on that first album.
That's true.
I think you should push tips. The next album as like, here's my first album.
I say the second one.
I think it's got to have a lot less Dashboard Confessional.
You did have the Avett Brothers 3 years ago. You said, "Will You Return," I believe, is the song that you
played. All right. That,
I guess. And you had a Dolly Parton foreshadowing.
Ooh, our deep engagement with
you.
Shout out to Brenda Boss. What are we going to do for Advent, Matt? We need to, like, I mean, I guess literally we need to figure out what we're doing for Advent.
Well, yeah, I should reach out to... Sarah at a Sanctified Art again, because we're using a Sanctified Art resources, and their theme is "Those Who Dream," which I'm really excited about because I think "Dream" is just a great image to play with.
Fleetwood
so maybe
Mac,
we get somebody
y'all.
On.
Cranberry
maybe
Juice
I'll
and Skateboards.
Send another email. So, what am I doing? I started going through new releases on Spotify, so I'm not super... It's like, I think they work, though, because mm-hmm. There's a bunch of songs about valleys that are out right now. So Gorillaz, who have a new, like, sort of album? I don't know. It's like Song Machine Part 1 is what they're calling it. Gorillaz with Beck, The Valley of the Pagans, which I guess are the goats. And then Gary Clark Jr. and Gustavo Santaolalla, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but they have a song called Valley of the Last Resort. I don't know how there's all these valleys. Does it feel like we're in a valley? Is that what it feels like? I don't know. Is that the...
darkness.
Is that the thick darkness? Is that the day of clouds and thick darkness? I don't know. And then how about, because I have just, it's been a year of country for me. Let's do Tanya Tucker's Pack Your Lies and Go. Pack Your Lies.
What did you say her name was?
Whose name?
The Pack Your Lies and Go.
Tanya Tucker.
Okay.
No? Did I get it wrong?
Well, I don't know how she pronounces her name, but growing up it was Tanya. Tanya.
Was it? Is that what you said?
Tanya Tucker.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Wow, that's, you really are the year of country, man. Pulling Tanya Tucker songs.
I don't know, man. I don't come from the land of Waffle House. How am I going to know how to pronounce these things? I'm still a rookie. Someday.
You're in the land
if I continue
of
on this track.
Chickens
if I continue
and
on
waffles.
This chickens. Oh, wow.
You don't got to separate the chickens and the waffles. You just smash them together.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's been real.
Real! Scattered, covered, and smothered.